Last week, we took a look at the Great Commission and how God calls each and every one of us to be on mission for Him. And hopefully you saw that it's not reserved for a select number of people or just clergy, but it is a mission that God has called each and every one of us to be on. This week, I want to communicate to you the importance and the vital role that you play that you may not realize that you play in God's mission. Hopefully you'll walk away knowing the important role that you do and are supposed to play. When I was in high school, I ran track. And mostly I ran distance events, but every once in a while they'd let me run on a relay. And if you know anything about a relay, there are four different people that run. And each person has to carry a baton, much like this one. Usually it's metal or hard plastic, and you pass it between each of the runners. No runner is more important than any other runner. The first person on the leg is just as important as the last person, as the second person, the third person. But in order for you to cross the finish line and for it to count, you have to pass this baton. If you drop the baton, you're disqualified. Your race is over. If you pass the baton outside of the designated area where you're supposed to hand off the baton, you're disqualified and your race is over. The baton is important in a relay race. Well, my friends, I want to communicate to you this morning. We as a church have been given the baton of God's mission. And we don't want to drop it. You know, the United States and the Olympics is known for how fast our runners are. As a matter of fact, since 1988, we have won 12 medals in our relay races. But did you know that 11 times since 1988, we have been disqualified for dropping the baton or for making an exchange outside of the regulated area where that exchange is supposed to take place? And so my challenge for us this morning is, how can we not drop the baton? We have been passed a baton that is in a much more important race. We have been given the gospel, and it has been given to us, and it is in our possession, and it is our job to pass it to the next generation. And the consequences are not just winning a race or receiving a medal, but the salvation of those around us and the continuation of the gospel as it progresses through time. Think about it. The baton was passed from generation to generation. The baton has spanned the globe, originating in Israel. The baton has changed and transformed nations and entire people groups. The baton has crossed language and cultural barriers. The baton was fundamental in beginning this great nation that we enjoy today. But somewhere along the way, we in North America dropped the baton. Yes, the United States was a place founded on Christian principles and values. We began as a Christian nation. However, today, North American church is in decline. According to John Dickerson's book called The Great Evangelical Recession, I'm going to give you some statistics here. I don't do this a lot, because I think you can find the statistics to back up anything on the internet, right? But I do want you to have a sense of where we sit in the North American church today and what's happening. According to the Great Evangelical Recession by John Dickerson, American evangelical population loses 2.6 million people per decade. Next slide. The latest report from the American Worldwide Inventory in 2025 by George Barna found that the percentage of Americans identifying as Christian has fallen from 72% in 2022 to 66% in 2025. That is of a loss of about 15 million adults. At the same time, go on to the next slide, non-Christian faiths are seeing dramatic increases. Buddhism has grown by 56%, Judaism by 21%, and Islam by 12%. In total, non-Christian faiths have expanded 39% since the start of the decade. The report also shows that the segment of Americans claiming no faith at all has risen from 20% to nearly 23%. Go on to the next slide. Totaling approximately 50 million adults. For the first time, this group now outnumbers Catholics, traditionally the largest single religious group in the country. According to 2025 Gallup poll, about half of Americans, 50%, say religion is not an important part of their daily life. Certainly, hopefully, we as Southern Baptists are doing better, right? That would be good. Certainly we are. Well, let me give you some statistics there. Southern Baptist churches report 16 million members, but only 6.1 million attend worship any given Sunday. Did you know it's norm now to call yourself a regular attender if you only come once a month? It's a pretty sad bar, isn't it? From 2023 to 2024, Southern Baptist congregations lost 259,824 members. The 2% decrease is smaller than the 1.8% decline the previous year, but both of those were less than the 2.9% drops each of the previous years in 2020 to 2022, which means right now we sit at 12,722,266 Southern Baptist Church members. But that, the last time we've been that small as Southern Baptist is 1974. Clearly, we are dropping the baton as Christians in America and being on mission we have been tasked with. North America may have been the center of evangelical Christianity, but now that is shifting to Asia, Africa, and Central America. In fact, many countries are now sending missionaries to North America. Have you seen this statistic here that I've seen many times over the last month? By 2030, there will be more Christians in China than in the United States. It's against the law to be a Christian in China, friends. We praise God for the transformation that is taking place all over the world. And we pray for more of it. But we know that God would like a resurgence of the Great Commission here in North America. The United States is the most influential country in the world, and therefore, when the gospel thrives in the United States, it thrives across the globe. Declining numbers in Christianity can lead to frustration and even paralyze Christians who want to spread the gospel. This is what we need to remember, that God is still God, and His desire for His church can trump any of our current realities. Don't believe me? Look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament Ezekiel's story of how God can bring life into a situation where death seems imminent. I'm going to read Ezekiel 37, 1 through 6. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And He led me amongst them, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, You know.' Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to those bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know I am the Lord. God showed Ezekiel a vision, a valley of dry bones that were once full of life and vitality, but now lay dormant and dusty. And in that vision, God breathed life into those bones. And they stood, living and breathing as a vast army. My friends, when things seem bleak and hopeless, God shows up and breathes life into our situation. While this passage was not originally written about North American church, the message certainly applies. Though we are in church in decline with some great needs, God can still breathe life into His church. Tendency is to ask the question, what action steps should I take or should we take to turn things around? And that is an important question, one I will answer in the weeks to come. But I think it is important to first answer the question, why? Why live a life on mission for God? We read in the first chapter in Genesis that God created the world and He called it good. He breathed life into humanity. And the pinnacle of His creation was what? The very image bearers of God. Through Adam and Eve, we were designed and created to be in relationship with God. But they chose their own self-interest. Genesis 3 tells a story how they bit into the enemy's temptation, revolted against God, desiring to be God of their own lives and sit in the God chair of their own lives. They traded God's kingdom for their own kingdom. That kingdom crumbles quickly. During the year, we've been going over the book of Genesis and we've recounted how the fabric of creation was ripped as sin and self-immersion spread like poison to our souls. The next seven chapters of Genesis moves from one devastation to another, clearly displaying the effects of sin, deception, disobedience, murder. The message is clear. Sin destroys. Yet into this broken, bloody mess of a world where people are railing from the pain of the sin that they brought upon themselves, God stepped in. He chose Abraham to start being part of the redeeming mission that is still at work today. So I want us to read. This is our focal passage this morning. If you'll stand, let's honor God's word as I read, as the mission is initiated with Abram. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Thank you. You may be seated. So sin was destroying the world. But God picked up the baton. And he began using his people to be on mission for him since the very beginning. God has been using his people to be on mission for him since the very beginning. God chose an ordinary man like Abram to bring about change. God handed the baton to Abraham. And Abraham passed that baton on to his descendants. And throughout the Old Testament, God continued from Abraham to gather a people for himself to be on his mission. Exodus 19, 5 through 6, God said that His people were a treasured possession and a kingdom of priests. A priest's job was to present God to the people around them, making Israel a group of people who would put God on display to the nations around them. God would use them to reveal Himself to the world and press forward in His promise He had made to Abraham to bless the world through His descendants. Since the start, God's plan to bless the world was to use everyday, ordinary people who've been reconciled and bring others to be reconciled to Him. This is the theme not only that we see in Abraham, but with others throughout Scripture. God took men and women like Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Nehemiah, Ruth, Peter, John, and many others. And He continues the same process today. In short, God has been about forming a gospel people for a gospel message. As we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see that God, not only did He choose ordinary men like Abraham to bring about a change, but eventually Abraham's bloodline eventually led to the ultimate change agent. God in the flesh, Jesus. The one true priest, the one true king, the one true prophet. God's plan points throughout the whole Old Testament to Jesus, God in human flesh, sent on a rescue mission to reconcile the world to God through the cross and the resurrection. God in human flesh would take hold of the baton. You see, Jesus is the ultimate missionary. Jesus was on task to make a people for Himself who would be a blessing of good news to those who are without Him. With Jesus comes the tantalizing hope of redemption, the shocking idea that maybe all is not lost, and the destruction caused by sin will not have the final word. But at His ascension, God sends the Holy Spirit, and the church began to spread the good news of reconciliation with God through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20 tells us that the church, we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20 says this: all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and trusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Jesus passed the baton to His church. The church is to be about God's mission. The church took the baton from Jesus and is to take it through the final leg. Those of us who've been reconciled to God through Jesus now forms a group of everyday people who God wants to use to bless the world. Our missionary God is not waiting for you and me. He's already at work. And the exciting news is that He invites us to join Him on His ministry of reconciliation. The current reality of the world is certainly motivation for what we should be doing as everyday missionaries, but the ultimate motivation is God Himself. As we are changed, freed, we are compelled to be where He is, right in the middle of the most incredible rescue mission ever given. How sad would it be if you were in a hurricane or lived beside people affected by a hurricane and you just sat in your living room and watched as people suffered? Or how sad would it be if there were wildfires destroying your neighbor's homes and you just sat in your old home, in your home in safety, and didn't try to help? God is on the largest rescue mission there has ever been, and He's called us to be on that rescue mission with Him. the entire history of mankind, God has been on mission for us. God is the why of our mission. God is the why of our mission. How crazy is it that we've been invited on this mission? Not only have we been reconciled to God, but we've been drafted to be missionaries alongside Him, spreading the good news that rescued us from our self-made destruction. We, who were convicted of treason against the King of the universe, are given grace, not only forgiven, but invited into His adopted family as sons and daughters, and are bid to spread the message to others. What an awesome invitation that is. The fact that many Christians do not respond to the invitation reveals that they don't comprehend how good the news of Jesus Christ really is. How about Flint Hill Baptist Church? Are we on God's mission? Are we on mission with Him? Are we doing everything we can to pass the baton to our neighbors, our family members, our co-workers, our classmates, our teammates, the next generation that's coming behind us? This very baton I received on June 12th, 2006. Stephanie and I came down to Greensboro to go to the Southern Baptist Convention, and Adrian Rogers, one of the great bulwarks of Southern Baptist, was president at that time, and he gave each and every one of us a baton. This is the baton he gave me. And on it, it says, to win 1 billion souls to Christ in the next generation. He called us to be on mission. He called us to pass the baton. And I took that to heart. And that has certainly informed me as I continued to be a youth minister then and then moved on to be a pastor. It is great, my great mission to pass this baton on to you, so you might pass it on as well. How about you? Is the baton in your hand, or have you dropped it? Are you on the mission that God has called each and every one of us as Christians to be about? Or have you filled your life with secondary matters that have little eternal significance? What a great privilege and responsibility to carry the baton to the next generation. How sad is it if we've dropped it? Who are you handing the baton to? Your children? Your grandchildren? Your co-workers, your neighbors, those you encounter on mission projects here in town, those you encounter on a prayer walk, or maybe you're passing the baton onto somebody you're mentoring in a one-on-one relationship, or maybe somebody you serve on mission trip. May we, as Flint Hill Baptist Church, may each of us be found faithful to pass the baton. May we take up the baton and latch on to the words of Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Consider all that I've just said as we read this verse with new eyes. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. My grandmother, I don't know who passed the baton to her. I don't know the story, that part of the story. But my grandmother passed the baton to my dad. And I'm so thankful for that. My parents passed the baton to me. A baton that had come from generations, all the way from the Middle East, all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, generation after generation after generation. It's come to me. I have done everything in my power to pass it on to my own children. But I know it's not just my own children I'm to pass it on to. My neighbors, to y'all, to those who don't know, people who live in Puerto Rico, in Ecuador, people who live in Mullins, South Carolina, and Toccoa, Georgia, across the street from me, down in Paradise in Fort Mill, those people up in Pineville. So we're going to sing a song. May those who come behind us find us faithful. And as we sing, I'm going to pass this baton to you. I got a couple others. I wish I had one to give you, every one of you, just like Adrian Rogers gave us in that convention center in Greensboro. But I just want you to pass it to your neighbor, pass it back, and may it be a symbolic commitment that you will pass the baton as well. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God wants you to have the baton. He wants you to be in a love relationship with Him, a saving relationship with Him. I'd love to pray with you, even as we sing, even as we're passing these batons. I would love to introduce you to Jesus Christ, who came on a great rescue mission for you. Will you stand? Let's sing together. In church.